Welcome everybody here this evening. I titled the lesson this evening, Where Are We Going? I'll start off by talking about, I used to travel around Arizona quite a bit. And I come into these small towns, I'd be, why is this town? Why does it exist? Why are these people here? How do they end up here? I found out some things about some towns, and that was just a thought that went into mind every time I went to these small towns. But I still wonder about Augusta. What's Augusta? We got the Masters and Fort Gordon and that. Most people I know from here are either transient, in the sense that they might be here for a few years, or they're not from here originally. Some. But how did we end up here? How did you end up here in Augusta? Were it not for this church, I wouldn't be here. It's hard to express. I'm blessed. Sometimes just knowing there were people in my home country living free, hearing singing every Sunday morning, helped me. Over the years, your faithfulness has helped me through. This congregation has been here for me. When I wasn't here, I needed comfort. I remember, I don't know where in the world it was, but if you've ever been on Google Earth or Maps or something like that, zooming in on Oakley Pearl. It's Oakley Pearl? And it's just weird to see it because the satellites came out. I'm like, wow, it's Oakley Pearl. Why? That's the building. So I remember doing that, and that was kind of a little bit of comfort. But this this congregation is important.
Yes.
The faithful of this town have come here to worship. We've found in each other love for the truth. Part of that truth is to take care of each other and work together. If this church wasn't here and I had to be here, I might maybe go to Devil Road or something like that. Maybe start an own congregation. I don't know what I'd do. So for this area and this population, this church is important. It's a growing area, it's a key location right off the freeway and a major thoroughfare between Evans and Martinez, Augusta, and Fort Gordon. We have high visibility and an obligation to God and to this community to stand for the truth, to speak where the Bible speaks, be silent where the Bible is silent, be that lampstand for God's word. Book, chapter, and verse for all we bind. We need to be known for standing for the truth. We gather and worship God as prescribed in the New Testament. This is what we do when we come together in these four walls. But what are we known for? Are we known? What could we be known for? Why in the world do I ask that? Revelation, as you guys know, talks to the churches. And he starts out a lot of his conversations this way. Revelation 2, to the angel of the church at Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your toil and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear those that will evil. And he goes on. In verse 18, and to the church in Thyatira write, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze, I know your works. your love and faith and service and patience, endurance, and that your later works exceed the first. What are our works? What are we known for? Little disclaimer, it's not going to be a lesson about a distinction between individual works and church works, that type of a thing. Though, you know, we could do a study on that would show there's some works that the church should be doing and some that are for individuals, but that's not going to be in this particular study. It's largely going to be about individual works. Individual works. We're going to think it through. We talked about it a tiny bit this morning. We're going to think it through, try to get some answers and direction. We're not here to pin down the actual exact fine points. But in Revelation, they were known for their works. Which brings me to this. All right, we know this one. I'm going to read out here. There's some of the works we can see, poorly clothed, lack in daily food, giving them the needs of their body. Of course, this is in James where he's talking about faith without works. And he ends it with faith apart from works is dead. Let's keep on going. Good works give glory to your Father who is in heaven. She was full of good works and acts of charity. He will render to each one according to his works. Not your own doing. Not a result of works. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. And this is what we're talking about this morning. We'll flesh that out a little bit more. Right? Because saved by grace. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Okay. Equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. For it is God who works in you. God who works in you. We'll make that very clear. Very clear a little later. Both to will and to work for his good pleasure. He nearly died for the work of Christ. Colossians 1, he powerfully works within me. Colossians 1 again, bearing fruit in every good work. 1 Thessalonians, esteem them highly in love because of their work. 2 Thessalonians, establish them in every good work. 1 Timothy, with good works. 1 Timothy 5, having a reputation for good works. 1 Timothy 5 again, good works are conspicuous or evident. The 1 Timothy 6, do good, be rich in good works, generous and ready to share. That was in one of Zach's prayers this morning as well. 2 Timothy, ready for every good work. 2 Timothy again, equipped for good work. 2 Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Titus, be a model for good works. Titus, who are zealous for good works. Titus, devote themselves to good works. Titus 3, be ready for every good work. Titus 3 again, learn to devote themselves to good works. Hebrews, your work. Hebrews again, and let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works. James, let him show his works. The 3rd John, support people like these. Be fellow workers for the truth. And back in Revelation, I will give to each according to your works. And this is what we don't want to hear. I have not found your works complete. I could talk about our plans for building expansion, our sign, our overflow parking, our video cameras we're doing, that kind of thing, the fair coming up. But the building and the sign and those types of things advertise where we meet. But it's more about the people, our lives. Again, it's not a lesson about the works of the church or where to spend our money, that type of thing, or distinguishing from individual works, but suggesting to you that besides what we spend our money on, we are the sum of what we do individually. And we can be a positive force. How do we do that? You got any ideas? what do we do? You know, we do more things at Fort Gordon. There's a medical prison. We support preachers. Maybe the work groups could do certain things together. I know that Philip might be bringing some things in more people. Similar to what he's doing this morning, where you're thinking about a person that you want to talk to the gospel and help encouraging each other and helping each other to talk to people. But we're known for the sum of our individual works, similar to the Revelation churches. How will God use us if we're going to influence this community? How can we make a difference? That's what we've been thinking about. And of course, we turn now to outside of these walls a little bit later. Now, I think that goes down to one at a time, similar to what Philip was talking about today, talking to people. Actually, that long-term relationship was an interesting thought, you know, because it is those relationships that you're able to talk with people over a long period of time. But let's think about Augusta just for a second again. It's a unique culture, I think. I mean, can someone put their thumb on the culture of Augusta? I'm not sure. But all cultures are influenced by things. And I just want to go through this really quickly. Maybe it's a side note here, but I've always wanted to talk about this. I'm going to do it for just a couple minutes. And that's, they're all influenced by the internet. Stay with me here. Used to be influenced by local people. We just talked to each other, right? We get our news from each other. We talk to each other, that type of thing. Then technology comes along. Think about the technology that's come on in the last 100 or so years. Motor cars, we can travel faster, right? And ideas travel faster then, yeah? The phone, you can call people and talk without traveling in a city and out of the city. You guys remember when it was a big deal to do a long distance phone call? Yeah, that wasn't too long ago. I don't want to hold you too long. It's long distance. My parents were doing that like 5 or 6 years ago. Mom, it doesn't cost any extras. So ideas and attitudes could spread quickly. Movies. And then TV. Centralized norms and influence. Used to be preachers would rail against TV, yeah? You guys remember? At least then, as a culture, we're watching the same 3 or 4 channels. Then it went to like 500. Yeah? Now you can pick your poison. Now you can pick your culture, right? With the internet. It's a danger of tribalism. You guys have heard that word, or think about it. Tribalism. Only communicate with those of like interests. All of this technology definitely has and could be used for good. But do you think the devil has used it? And is still using it today? People maybe used to go to church as entertainment or socialization, but now they have many other avenues. Used to, when you met and talked with others in the community, you were forced to hear alternate ideas. Now you can go on the internet and find and hang out with people who think exactly like you and sit and talk about how dumb everybody else is. We're never challenged by other ideas. And we win every argument about your position because you never engage with anyone of non-like minds. It's kind of a side note of dropping the internet, but I talk about that to say that, to encourage us to talk to people in our community. Talk to people in our community. And of course, there's people in our community here in the congregation that never get on the internet, so there's that as well. So, but that is definitely out there. The devil has influence, but as Philip talked about a little bit this morning, probably a lot of people in Augusta have religious ideas. I have some sort of religious background. So how in the world do we influence Augusta? Well, God so loved the world that he gave. He did something. He did something about it. We're effectively told the same in 1 John 3:18. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. And in truth. Love indeed. Matthew 10:24, and if anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you that person will certainly not lose their reward. We also have the Great Commission. Go into your house and wait for someone to knock on your door and ask you about the gospel. I suggest that we try to make our own opportunities best we can. Just like benevolence, does someone come up to you and ask? I guess sometimes, right? But maybe we can seek out if there actually are needy Christians out there that we can help. Evangelism is kind of the same. Does someone come up and ask? Not really. We recently met a preacher that had a group of folks that just went out and they were picking weeds at a senior center, and that ended up them having Bible studies in there. Or Bible studies with people. Weekly, I think. Maybe monthly, I'm not sure. Just something that they did that got them talking with people and led to interaction with folks. God has blessed us with all kinds of things, our cars, our phone, our shelter, our time, our health, our energy. What can we do with those? Individually, together. Matthew 25:44, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison? Well, no one came and asked me. Again, I suggest, I'm saying those things to encourage us and to think about making opportunity the best we can. So, Jim mentioned it in his prayer, I think. Supposed to be ready to give an answer for the hope that's within us, right? That's where we're supposed to be ready, because give an answer, like someone's going to come and ask you, and they may. We're supposed to be ready to give the answer for that hope that's in us. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Why do you serve others in your job or in your studies? What's your motivation? Why do you volunteer? Why do you give people rides? Why do you bring food to people? Why do you pray? Why do you go to church? Why do you visit people? Why do you volunteer serving your fellow man? Why are you always talking about the gospel? Because the hope within me. There's the answer. Because of the hope within me. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Do all these things in the name of the Lord. Why? Why? Because Jesus, that's why. Give an answer for the hope within us. People may ask, in their busy lives, why would you help me? Because the hope within, that's why. How do we reconcile these verses right here? Matthew 23:5, they do all their deeds to be seen by others. And Matthew 6:1, beware of practicing righteousness before the people, before other people, in order to be seen by them. And then Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works. Good works. I think we touched on a tiny bit this morning. Not to be seen, and to be seen, in these different verses. I think Ephesians 2 helps us a tiny bit with that answer. We'll look at that. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, not a result of works, nothing that you can do, but these are you. You're created for good works that God has prepared. You're doing God's work. In Colossians 1:29, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me. I think Bob was saying that exact thing this morning. It's God that's for doing the works. We are working for him, glorifying the Father which is in heaven. But we are imperfect. I think Joe brought this up this morning. You guys are just talking wonderful. Class. Let Luke 17:10. So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. So what are we known for? Collective with what we do individually. Conclusion, before I say conclusion, the first thing I had was, I am so imperfect. I know we are all imperfect. And we need to forgive each other, pick up our shovels and work for the Lord. Together, though we are each imperfect, His mercy should cover that. Galatians 6:10, Jed read that. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith. Good unto all men. Why would we do good unto all men? Because the hope within us. Because the hope within us. So it's not an all-inclusive lesson. We're just getting us to start to think outside of this box a little bit. Not telling exactly where we are, just asking us to think about where are we or where we are, so we can look where to go. What can we be known for? The truth. How do we bring that truth? We do things like prayer, work groups, individual works. And then we ask, and then when they ask why, it's because of the hope within us. These physical things don't matter. But we're helping because of love and compassion, like we see our Lord did. God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, sent Him here to serve. Philippians 2, verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Young and old, where are we going? What are we working on? Each of us think, why are we here? We're here to encourage each other to love and good works. We're here to hold His word out to the world. We need to be that lampstand, as we see in Revelation. Let's be that lampstand. And we need each of you. We need each other. We need to humble ourselves before our Creator in this effort, in these thoughts, as we think about what we can do and where we are. Have you humbled yourself before God? Do you have purpose in your life? Maybe you have been idling. Maybe you're tired from working. In Galatians 6, you back up a tiny bit. I almost had Jed read this, but we want to leave this for the end a little bit. Back up to verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And then, of course, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. That's what I wanted to say to you. If you need to obey the gospel, be baptized, and start your life in Christ, or you need prayers of the congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.